courtyard, to the sanctuary, unto the most holy. There are principally two parts in our prayer journey. The one part is outside, in the court. What do you call it? Courtyard? Courtyard. And one part is inside, in the sanctuary. Now the work to be done outside in the courtyard is the preparation for the work done inside. And so likewise we have in the Lord's Supper a work of preparation, and then we have a wonderful infilling afterwards. Now let us consider the work that we are doing in the courtyard outside. First we go to the altar of sacrifice, and there we confess our sins. We make a consecration, and as a result of this, receive the peace of God. You must know it very well by now, since we are practicing this, isn't it? So when we make this prayer journey, of course, our real endeavor is to be very clean, inside and outside. And this shall be our endeavor now too, as we enter into a very special experience of partaking the bread and the wine. Now, the preparation in the Lord's Supper is the foot washing, and this leads our minds to the original foot washing that took place when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. That was the first time it happened, and it had a very great effect upon the disciples, especially since they were not so unified. Now, we, of course, have had spent a week together in which our unity has really even grown through the Word of God. And if there has been anything amongst us, I'm pretty sure that this was made clear between us. Still, we have a work of heart searching to do, because the King of the North is not only trying to place himself amongst us, but even within our own hearts. So we need a work of preparation be done. So let us reflect for a few moments on the wonderful event in the upper chamber when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He tried to teach them, or to tell them, about his soon death, and the disciples just had no ear for that. At first they realized that their Lord was very sorrow about the events that were coming, and they sympathized with him, but soon these feelings were gone, because they were occupied with something else. The question, who would be the highest among them? And this question was a feeling of a barrier of feeling between each other, which hindered them to really receive the spiritual blessing. And such a feeling is very hard to break. But there's a way to break it, and this is the creative power of God. Now, the creative power of God is to be found in his word that is spoken. And the words that Jesus spoke on this occasion, and the acts in connection with this, really created in the disciples a totally new spirit. This wonderful change is described on page 646 in the book Desire of Ages. At the words, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me," Peter surrendered his pride and self-will. He could not endure the thought of separation from Christ. That would have been death to him. "Not my feet only," he said, "but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit." So Jesus makes it very clear what comes first and what comes second. First comes the washing of the whole body, which is baptism. Then comes the washing of the feet afterwards. That makes the point very clear also, that this symbolism of feet washing should be partaken only by those who are really washed in the greater washing, which is the baptism. But this should hinder nobody to stay here and partake of the spirit of love and unity and blessings, because the Holy Spirit is brooding over the assembly. Let us read on now on page 646. "These words mean more than bodily cleanliness," in other words, outward cleanliness. Christ is still speaking of the higher cleansing as illustrated by the lower. He who came from the bath was clean, but the sandaled feet soon became dusty and again needed to be washed. So Peter and his brethren had been washed in the great fountain, open for sin and uncleanliness. Christ acknowledged them as his, but temptation had led them into evil, and they still needed his cleansing grace. When Jesus girded himself with a towel to wash the dust from their feet, he desired by that very act to wash the alienation, jealousy, and pride from their hearts. In other words, he tried to wash away the King of the North from their hearts. This was of far more consequence than the washing of their dusty feet. With the spirit they then had, not one of them was prepared for communion with Christ. Until brought into a state of humility and love, they were not prepared to partake of the Paschal Supper. Is it away now? Comes again. I hope it didn't disturb you too much. Let's begin again to read the last sentence I was interrupted with. With the spirit they then had, not one of them was prepared for communion with Christ. Until brought into a state of humility and love, they were not prepared to partake of the Paschal Supper or to share in the memorial service which Christ was about to institute. Their hearts must be cleansed. Pride and self-seeking create dissension and hatred. But all this Jesus washed away in washing their feet. And now a change of feeling was brought about. Looking upon them, Jesus could say, "You are clean." Now there was union of heart, love for one another. They had become humble and teachable, except Judas. Each was ready to concede to one another the highest place. Now, as we said already, I am convinced that between us there's not the same feelings as was between the disciples. We have received a great blessing, and yet a work needs to be done for us as well. And as this work is done, we will even grow into a closer union and closer fellowship. Now the sentence that really strikes us at the moment here is, now they had become humble and teachable, and they were ready. Sorry, I lost the sentence. Now there was union of heart, love for one another. They had become humble and teachable. They were ready to concede to another the highest place. Now this reminds us of a text in Philippians chapter 2. Let us open this for a moment. And there it says, let's begin in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each other esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now this is exactly the spirit we have vowed to have in our baptism. The spirit of service to each other. Of not living for ourselves, but for the others. And a very good exercise field in this is the Church of God. First of all the family, but then also the Church of God. Paul says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Now how can we esteem the other better than ourselves? That means that the Lord must lead us to a real appreciation of the gifts He has given us in each other. In fact, the Lord has given us a great gift when He has given us union and love towards each other. A great gift. And the appreciation of this gift, that is very important. This point is made very clear also in the final pages of this chapter, Servants of Servants. There it says on page 651, roots of bitterness that have crowded out the precious plant of love are made manifest. Defects of character, neglect of duties, ingratitude to God, coldness toward our brethren are called to remembrance. Sin is seen in the light in which God views it. Our thoughts are not thoughts of self-complacency, but of severe self-censure and humiliation. There was still another. Yeah, here it is. On page 650 and following. As the Savior's humiliation for us is remembered, thought links the thought. A chain of memories is called up, memories of God's great goodness and of the favor and tenderness of earthly friends. Blessings forgotten, mercies abused, kindnesses slighted are called to mind. This is exactly what the Lord's Supper is intended to give us. In other words, to root out any trace of the King of the North, who is fighting for his own rights and for his own place in the kingdom of God. Such a place does not exist. But let each other's esteem others better than himself. Now this relationship must also be in the family. As we read in Ephesians, where it says that, let's open for a moment, Ephesians chapter 5. There it says in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then he says, wives, submit to your own husbands. And in a certain sense, also husbands, submit to your wives. In other words, esteem each other higher than yourself. And this applies even for children. As it says in chapter 6, children, obey your parents. In other words, esteem your parents higher than yourself. And then he says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, even in a certain sense, parents can esteem their children higher than themselves. And this the more so as the children have the spirit of obedience in their hearts. They can appreciate this spirit. They can appreciate what Jesus has done for their children above that what they would have been able to give them. That is one way of esteeming each other higher than ourselves. Let us think of the mercy, of the kindnesses that we have received from each other, and let us think how little we paid attention to these. And let us really look at our own hearts and see where this root of bitterness still must be completely uprooted. And that's a wonderful gift that the Lord wants to give us. Now, Peter was not at first ready to have his feet washed. He thought, no, that is a too great humiliation. Because if Jesus has his feet, washes my feet, if he takes the place of a servant, then I do not get the place I want in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus must make him very clear, Peter, that is necessary that I wash your feet, otherwise you have no part with me. So we have no part with Jesus if we, with the spirit of the King of the North, try to establish ourselves in the Church of God. And for this reason, Jesus wants to cleanse us in the bath of baptism and afterwards in the foot washing. Now this is the spirit of Jesus, described in Philippians 2, verse 5 and onwards. Let this mind be in you which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant. Literally took the form of a servant in the foot washing. And coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In other words, such a love, as Christ wants to implant in our hearts for each other, will lead us even to be prepared to give our life for the brethren. John says, there's no greater love than this. Now this was the love of Jesus, and to this love God wants to lead us. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now that is the only true exaltation, the exaltation which is a result of true humiliation and true cleanliness from any trace of the spirit of the King of the North who tries to exalt himself. So let us meditate about this wonderful gift that the Lord wants to give us as we wash our feet, and like in our prayer journey at the altar of sacrifice, where we search our own hearts and pray that the Lord takes the sinfulness from us, let us also pray that the Lord takes the King of the North out of our heart as we do this audience, and then it will not be a form for us, but a real prayer journey. And this the Lord really intends. Let me now say a few words before we depart. The question is very clear, I think, that everybody who wishes can really, first of all, partake in the spirit of the Lord's Supper. And in the partaking of the bread and the wine and the actual performance of the foot washing, we very definitely counsel that you partake of this only if you are truly born again and have obeyed the Lord by taking the rite of baptism as well. We will not force this on anybody. Anybody has his own decision on this, but this is the clear counsel that we want to give. But in any case, we also wish that anybody can partake of the blessing by staying here in the presence of the believers. So let us now depart, and what is the organization? Where shall the brothers go and where the sisters? The brothers will be underneath. Okay, and the sisters are up in Fritz and Margaret's house, or home. So shall we depart? Now let us open 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul recounts the institution of the Lord's Supper, and there we read from verse 23 and onwards. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now Jesus has specially required that we shall do this in remembrance of him. That means that while we do it, we remember him and our thoughts dwell with him. Now, the partaking of the Lord's Supper is the second part of our prayer journey. Now we have prepared ourselves in the courtyard. We have examined our hearts and the Lord has cleansed us. Now we enter into the sanctuary and there we find bread and we find light. The light shining so that the bread can be seen. Now the bread is the Word of God, which becomes a special experience to us as we eat it. Now the eating of the bread is very significant because with the eating of bread, we take it into ourselves. And the bread is a symbol for the Word of God. And as we eat the bread, so shall we take in the Word of God into ourselves so that it becomes an actual part of our being. You know, bread becomes an actual part of our own being because the nourishment that is in there builds up our body. So we are what we eat. And so, as we eat the Word of God, it becomes a living part of ourselves. It becomes our experience. Now this is what the Lord intends. For this reason, we shall meditate about the Word of God until we understand its meaning for us, and also until we hear actually God's voice speaking to us out of it. This point is made very nicely in the chapter about the crisis in Galilee on page 390 and 391. As our physical life is sustained by food, so our spiritual life is sustained by the Word of God. And every soul is to receive life from God's Word for himself. As we must eat for ourselves in order to receive nourishment, so we must receive the Word for ourselves. We are not to obtain it merely through the medium of another's mind. That is the reason why personal worship is so important. And while we partake of the bread and the wine, we want to meditate so that the Lord can personally speak to us. In his promises and warnings, Jesus means me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that I, by believing in him, might not perish but have everlasting life. The experiences related in God's word are to be my experiences. Prayer and promise, precept and warning are mine. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As faith thus receives and assimilates the principles of truth, they become a part of the being and the motive power of the life. The Word of God received into the soul molds the thoughts and enters into the development of character. That you cannot express more closely. It actually enters into the development of character. By looking constantly to Jesus with the eye of faith, we shall be strengthened. God will make the most precious revelations to his hungering, thirsting people. They will find that Christ is a personal Savior. As they feed upon his word, they find that it is spirit and life. The word destroys the natural earthly nature and imparts a new life in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to the soul as a comforter. By the transforming agency of his grace, the image of God is reproduced in the disciples. He becomes a new creature. Love takes the place of hatred. The heart receives the divine similitude. This is what it means to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is eating the bread that comes down from heaven. So the Holy Spirit is brooding over the assembly to make this, to give us this very experience. God wants to speak to our hearts as we meditate upon his broken body, as we meditate upon his spilled blood. We will see new meaning in this, and the very death of Christ, the principles of the cross that we read in Philippians 2, will actually become a part of our character. Now this is the experience that we receive from partaking as we do it by faith. And so we will be encouraged with new faith, with new hope, and this we need very much in these times.